It is 6 February. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Worst score ever. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, a couple things to announce. The first is I forgot to mention this last week. I had not been feeling well, and we got through the service okay, but my friend Amber sent me a bunch of bandanas for Christmas, and I wore one last week, and I'm wearing one today, and I got two or three more on my desk waiting to be worn. But I wanted to thank Amber for that, because that's very wonderful. And then we also have some visitors. They'll be here for 30 days before they go back to Israel. And that is our friends Sergio and Rhoda. They arrived here on Friday afternoon. They'll be here for 30 days. So if you want to spend some time with them or whatever, here they are. Wonderful to have you guys. Very, very wonderful to have you. So, yeah, it was odd what happened. We went out to a Korean restaurant Friday afternoon because I didn't want them to have to come here and figure out what to do. So we took them out to a Korean restaurant. And while we were there, one of the people at the restaurant walked in and was looking at us and looking at us. And then finally, when we were getting ready to leave, this individual walked up and said, "I can't believe you're here in Sarasota." And so there they are, the most famous people in the world. And yeah, it was. So she's obviously been following them on YouTube forever. And there you go. So yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff. Okay, well, let's see here. We got some news from Israel today. We got from Reuters, Holocaust survivor decries abuse of Yellow Star at COVID protests. Okay, I'm going to make a point about this. I'll read the article first. Centurion Holocaust survivor Margot Friedlander urged the young generation to always remember the Nazi genocide and denounce the use by some anti-COVID vaccine protesters of the Yellow Star Jews were forced to wear. "Today I see the memory of what happened being abused for political reasons, sometimes even derided and trampled all over," she told EU lawmakers in Brussels at a ceremony marking the 77th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. "Incredulous, I had to watch at the age of 100 years how symbols of our exclusion by the Nazis, such as the so-called Judenstern, are shamelessly used on the open street by the new enemies of democracy to present themselves whilst living in the middle of a democracy as victims." She was referring to some demonstrators at anti-vaccination protests who have pinned Yellow Star badges to their clothes, reminiscent of the cloth badges the Nazis forced Jews to wear to mark them as outsiders. "We cannot change what happened, but it must never happen again. This is why we have to be vigilant today." I think that's what those people are doing, is being vigilant today. There's a little bit of a disconnect in her thought process, and not turn a blind eye as in the past, she warned. Okay, my point about this will come along with the next article, but I personally, and if you don't like what I say, I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm personally tired of having the Holocaust beaten over everybody's head. There were other groups of people that were murdered in the Holocaust, and we don't give them any attention. We hear very little about the Armenian genocide. We have genocide that has happened all around the world for human history. And people are told they can't say anything about the Holocaust because it affected Jews more than anybody else. Next article, The Jewish Voice. This is from 18 June of last year, 2021. Holocaust survivors shocking interview. So her voice doesn't matter, and they actually scrubbed this from the internet. This is a Holocaust survivor compares COVID vaccine segregation Great Reset to Hitler's master plan. Her name is Vera Sharav. She was the interviewee, and she is a Holocaust survivor, and yet her voice is not being allowed to speak on the issue that she says is exactly what happened to them.
Yes.
Okay? So yes. My point is that if you feel strongly about your freedoms and you feel strongly about being vigilant, it doesn't matter who is being affected. You need to speak out. Okay? If a group of people says you can't talk about this issue because that is inappropriate. And so she has one voice, the other lady has another voice, and people need to be allowed to speak openly about what occurred, not be silenced because one side of that political issue is brought out against the other side of the political issue by somebody that also was in the Holocaust.
The first gal proves that can easily be persuaded to be a Nazi.
That's right. That is exactly right. And so we want to be have our eyes opened to what's going on in this world. And, you know, you get your vaccine if you want. You don't get your vaccine if you want. But if you are told that you must take something, especially when it's experimental, that is a problem. Yeah. I got some articles coming up about that in a coming report, probably Wednesday. Okay, from Wynette. This is another thing that makes no sense to me at all, and I'm just going to read you the title. A quarter of Israel's Holocaust survivors are poverty-stricken. What does that have to do with anything? I remember when the towers were blown up and they came down and all these people died. And New York said we're going, or the government, I think it was, said we're going to give $1 million to every survivor of 9/11. I thought, what's the point in that? You're not a hero if you're standing in a building and the building comes down around you. You're just a person that was in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a point where you have to let people live their lives. Whatever their background is, whatever their future is, you have to get out there and work. Those who do not work will not eat. And if you're in a country where things are oppressive, that's where you live. If you can get out of that country and go somewhere else, you should. But these issues that keep being brought up that are held against the rest of the world are not issues that I think should be even addressed at all. What you do is you just help people out. You get them on their feet, and then you let them run their lives. I don't know. I find everything about what's been said in the past week and a half over this issue wrong this year. And it seems to be getting more wrong as the years go by. Times of Israel. Israel reaches worst score ever in annual corruption index. An anti-corruption watchdog gave Israel its worst score ever in a global ranking of how countries tackle government graft. Transparency International's 2021 Corruption Perceptions Index, which measures the perception of public sector corruption, according to experts and business people, gave Israel a score of 59 out of 100. It received a score of 60 in 2020, so it's going down a little bit each year, and 64 in 2016. The highest scores are awarded to countries adjudged to have the lowest level of corruption. Israel is ranked 36 out of 180 countries in the 2021 report, after ranking 28 5 years ago among 37 OECD countries. Israel's ranked 29th, dropping 4 places compared to the 2020 report. The grades, the organization says, are derived from each country's perceived levels of public sector corruption, according to experts and business people, based on data collected from 13 organizations, including the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, and Freedom House. Transparency International did not provide any details on its reason for the grade it gave to Israel, or just about any country surveyed, and it did not include Israel among the countries listed in its Middle East and North Africa division or in any other regional breakdown. Nili Arad, the chairwoman of Transparency International Israel, said this year's index indicates that corruption in Israel is strengthening. She said the increase was especially worrying in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, when an extra measure of transparency is needed as protection against damaging the foundations of democracy. Israel's low ranking is a warning sign signaling the potential of a move toward becoming a corrupt state, she added. And I think that that is borne out very well by the articles that have been presented over the past 12 months here at the Superior Word. Netanyahu may be in a giant pickle right now. We were talking about that before the service today. The spyware that was being used in Israel targeted people that were not under any investigation at all, and it appears that he may have been involved in that. The government in general has been using that spyware inappropriately, and as I said, it was targeting people that had done nothing wrong. They were just people maybe running for an office or something. So Israel needs to consider its ways in the world because, you know, this is not a good sign for a country that is trying to be a leader in so many areas. And it personally breaks my heart because they're my last prayer every single night before I go to bed is, you know, I pray for the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and that their eyes especially will be open to the truth of the gospel. and yet they've got corruption that is increasing there. So we'll just see where that goes. But, you know, it's kind of a bummer, kind of a downer for Israel's report this week. And then the last article from Israel is just as bad. Last week we talked about Florida. Now it's Israel. Newly arrived bug threatens to decimate Israel's citrus fruit industry. The Asian citrus psyllid is a known vector for citrus greening disease. That's what we have here, and was recently identified in the Emek Hefer region in the center of the country. The disease causes stunted growth in infected citrus trees and irregular misshapen fruit that can't be used as produce. Ultimately, it kills infected citrus trees as there is no treatment. Due to the size of established populations already found, ministry officials assume that the insect has spread to adjacent areas as well. Bad news. Florida is suffering from this. Now Israel, you know, and they I remember being there. We were on the bus, and we had a guy, Zvi Ravai, who is now dead, but a very nice guy. And as we would travel through Israel, he'd always tell you what the crops were. So all the way through Israel, you'd hear, oranges on the left, bananas on the right. And then you go a little farther and you say, strawberries on the left, oranges on the right. And we heard that all the way through Israel. So he was a great guy, but you're not going to hear oranges on the right or oranges on the left anymore if they don't get this under control. Very sad. Good memories with Zvi, though. Very nice guy. Okay, we have some news concerning Christianity here today. Do you remember that when he said that? Because I was with Mom. You just got used to hearing him say whatever was going on. And then, of course, in Israel, when they say good morning, they say Boker Tov, which is morning good. It's the words are reversed, right? And so every single time he'd meet all of us, he'd say Boker Tov, morning good, and then Erev Tov, evening good. So he was just a great guy. He had these funny ways about presenting himself. So that's been stuck in my head. Every time I hear somebody say Boker Tov, I say in my head, morning good. Oh, gosh. Okay, news from Christianity. Let's see here. Silas in Kenya. Some people have helped him over the years, and he is looking for about $8,300 for a new building, according to our government instructions. And this is for children to build a school and other things, dining hall, 3 rooms for class, and place of sleeping dormitory. So that's what he's working on. And if you know Silas and you want to help out with that, I can send you the information if you don't know him, and just letting you know that that is something that they are working on in Kenya. It's a very impoverished place where he is, and he takes care of a lot of people and soup lines and food lines and getting rice to people, etc. But this is something that he would like to do. All right, from Fox, Afghanistan becomes most dangerous place on earth for Christians following Biden withdrawal. For the first time ever, Afghanistan is the most dangerous place on the planet to be a Christian, according to a statement from Open Doors outlining its 2022 World Watch List. The World Watch List is a definitive, comprehensive, research-based report that ranks the top 50 countries where it is most dangerous to be a Christian. Afghanistan has supplanted, believe it or not, North Korea, which now ranks number 2 on the list, after spending 20 years at number 1. Open Doors says that every Christian in Afghanistan is now either hiding or on the run, every one of them, and the conditions for Christians in the country have never been more dangerous. According to Open Doors, Afghanistan is followed by North Korea, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Eritrea, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran, and India as the top 10 countries that are most dangerous for Christians. So please pray for any Christians in Afghanistan. They will be hunted down and they will be exterminated if they get their way over there. And they are getting their way. They've got all kinds of money being sent into them, including by the U.S. government. And they're, of course, it's for, emergency food and all that. That all means is that they don't have to use that money of their own for emergency food, and they can go hunt down Christians with the money they do have. That's all that means. From Christian Post, PCUSA head doubles down on comparing Israeli occupation to slavery. You know, there are Christians and there are people that claim to be Christians, and they may be Christians, but I have to tell you, they have no idea what it's like over there. No idea. These people over in the Middle East, they are separated, obviously, because they have different ideologies and different goals, but they do not treat those people as slaves. Okay. Do you ever perceive that over there? Ever? No. We got people that are from Israel right here, right now, and this is not true. Okay, this is a complete lie, but I'm going to read you the article because it shows you the depravity of people that are in Christian denominations in this world. J. Herbert Nelson II garnered outrage from Jewish groups when, as a part of a statement released in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, he declared that the continued occupation in Palestine, Israel, is 21st century slavery and it should be abolished immediately. He called on the Jewish community in the United States to influence the call to join the U.S. government in ending the immoral enslavement. How ridiculous. After being accused of anti-Semitism by Jewish advocacy groups, Nelson released a message in which he defended his original remarks. Of course he did. Nelson maintained that no one who is informed regarding the use of military power and racial bias to control the lives of Palestinian citizens can honestly avoid the truth of this situation. I would, completely. It's a complete lie. These people are, they're communists. They are, most of the people in the PCUA have nothing to do with Christianity, maybe some holdouts that were there before it really went downhill, but they have a perverse agenda with immorality within their denomination. They support the left agenda in this nation. They support abortion, everything that you would normally be against if you were a biblical-believing Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, they support. And they support this type of nonsense as well. I made special reference to the injustices currently suffered by the Palestinian people under Israeli domination, marked by confiscation of rich land that they have farmed for generations. He doesn't know what he's talking about because all you need to do is watch, what was it, the sermon last week or 2 weeks ago, where I once again cited Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, who went all the way through the land of Israel just 100 and some years ago, and he marked all of the people in the land, how much land was productive, everything. And you read that account and numerous other accounts over the past 2,000 years that have been written, and this is a complete and absolute lie. Okay, he documented everything from Dan to Beersheba, the quality of the land, the people that live there, the number of people that live there, their state of existence, everything. Go read Innocents Abroad. You can read it right online. And what he says absolutely contradicts what this guy here says. This guy is a commie, and he is being given an ear in the government. He's being given an ear in Christian circles, and he should not be. Okay, he goes on, destruction of their crops, barriers, talking about destruction of the crops. Israel's in there and they're growing crops and they're developing the land. And what happens is the Palestinians are the ones that send the fire balloons over when the winds are right and they burn up all of Israel's territory. And so it's just the opposite of what this guy is saying. Barriers to access their holy places of worship. That is the biggest lie of all. Nobody is denied access to the places of worship. It is the Jews over there that can't go to their own places that have been under the auspices of the Bible for 3,500 years, and they can't visit many of the places, okay? Lack of access to certain types of employment and other forms of economic opportunity, he said. I can tell you from my own personal experience and knowing the situation over there that this is completely untrue. So you read that kind of stuff, be ready to defend the truth of the matter about that. Reuters, Pope says fake news, disinformation on COVID is human rights violation. Then he's a great human rights violator, I can tell you that. It was the second time in less than a month that the 85-year-old Pope has spoken out on the subject. 3 weeks ago, he condemned baseless ideological misinformation about vaccines, backing national immunization campaigns and calling healthcare a moral obligation. Francis made his comments in an address to members of CatholicFactChecking.com, which means that it's not true at all. If anything nowadays says fact-checking, you can bet the facts are not properly checked. A consortium of Catholic media whose website says its aim is to clarify fake news and misleading information about vaccines against COVID. To be properly informed, to be helped to understand situations based on scientific data and not on fake news, is a human right. Correct information must be ensured, above all, to those who are less equipped, to the weakest, and to those who are most vulnerable. Francis decried a spreading infodemic, which he said, listen to this, this is his words, which he said was a distortion of reality based on fear, falsified or invented news, and allegedly scientific information. If those three things aren't completely the opposite of what that guy is presenting, I'm Mickey Mouse. I'm telling you that right, and I am not Mickey Mouse. Okay, so believers of fake news should not be placed in ghettos, but attempts should be made to try to win them over to the scientific truth. I quoted Thomas Dolby this past week, and one of my friends emailed me. If you've never heard the song, She Blinded Me with Science. Science! The old guy on the video, if you don't remember it from the 80s, just go type in She Blinded Me with Science, and there's an old guy on there. He was an actual professor in the UK, but he did the video with them, and he's on there going, Science! Science! Just great, great video. Anyway, that's what we hear. That's all we hear today, and the science of 5 months ago is completely refuted today, and so they're on to new things. And the things that they were saying, this is absolutely science and the truth, have now been completely dispelled, and not by kooks, but by the CDC themselves. Yeah. The same things that they adamantly claim. I won't get into it now. We'll get into that later. Fake news has to be refuted, but individual persons must always be respected. How can you respect somebody if they're giving fake news? So the guy's thinking process is completely awry anyway, for they believe it. Often without full awareness or responsibility. Sounds like him. Projection. That's all it is, projection. Mail online. Pope tells parents, talk about somebody that does not understand anything. Now, he's not the stupidest man in the world. You will hear about that later in the report today. But he's vying for that position. Here we go. Pope tells parents to support their children if they are gay, and not hide behind an attitude of condemnation. Support your children. This is a guy that supposedly has this book in his hand, and it tells you what to do with sexual immorality. And it tells you on the last page of this book, and all the way through it, by the way, of what the consequences for it are. Okay? It's very clear in this book. And he's saying, support them. Okay? I had somebody this week email me about his son who made a profession for Christ about 6 or 7 years ago. And he said, our son came to us and has proclaimed that he's gay. And I told him what I thought he should do. You don't want to reject your own child. He is your child, but you set parameters for him and his life in relation to you. And you stick by those parameters. And I told him what parameters I thought I would impose on him. Son, you're our son. We love you, but we are not going to support you in this endeavor in any way, shape, or form. Ever. You cannot condone it and expect your child or your grandchild or anybody else to come to Christ and to be saved. If they're living in that kind of a life, if you don't believe me, just read the last page of this book and see what it says is going to happen to these people. We must uphold the sanctity of this word. This is the basis of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come any other way. You're not going to get it injected into you at a Pentecostal meeting. You're not going to get it by putting this under your pillow and sleeping on it. You have to understand what this word says. And the Pope said what he said. He ought to be eliminated from his position. They should take him out and say, you are no longer the Pope. We're going to find somebody else. But that's not the direction of the Catholic Church anymore. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Fox News, nearly 24 U.S. citizens and legal residents escape Afghanistan with the help of U.S. veterans and civilians. I reported on them a month or two ago. They're continuing to do this. Veterans and civilians are doing what our government fails to do and will not do.
Or even talk about.
The rescue was organized by, once again, Project Dynamo. I'm going to keep highlighting these people because what they are doing is above and beyond. It is amazing what they're doing. A group of civilians and veterans who have dedicated themselves to helping U.S. citizens, allies, and legal residents flee the war-torn country. The 23 U.S. citizens and legal residents landed safely at JFK International following a 48-hour trip. The group, which is funded by donations, has rescued 189 U.S. citizens and legal residents since the Biden admin's deadline for evacuations passed on August 31st. 189 people that our government abandoned. These people are taking up the call, and they're getting these people out of there. They helped evacuate more than 2,000 people in mid to late August before that window lapsed. There were 4 Americans and 19 legal residents among the last week's group, and Stern said there is no end in sight. These people are putting their lives on the line, and they've got nothing to gain for it except common human decency. Something you will not find in the Democrat Party of the United States of America. You will not find it. From the Daily Wire, three Biden admin negotiators leave team working on Iran nuclear deal because Biden is being too soft. I just thought I'd throw that in. It was about a week ago, but then we found out more being soft yesterday. I didn't have time to add it in today, but he is. The things he is doing with Iran are going to lead, as we know anyway, the book is written, they are going to lead to the end times. They are going to lead to a coalition of nations coming against Israel. And they're going to also lead to the death of countless people throughout the Mideast because of Iran's desire to exterminate people that disagree with them. It's a direct result of the Biden administration, 100%. Daily Wire again, mounting by the day. ISIS rapidly, and I know we just had somebody get blown up a day ago, but he blew himself up when he was being attacked and he killed his family and everybody else. But that doesn't change the fact of this article. Mounting by the day, ISIS rapidly regaining territory in areas where Trump wiped them out, report says. They're just growing like they did before over there. The evidence of a resurgence of the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq is mounting by the day. Nearly 3 years after the militants lost the last patch of territory of their so-called caliphate, which once stretched across vast parts of the two countries, the fact that ISIS was able to mount these coordinated and sophisticated attacks in recent days shows that what had been believed to be disparate sleeper cells are reemerging as a more serious threat. The Times cited several recent incidents that have happened in the region, including a massive attack attempting to free ISIS prisoners in Syria, attacks on military forces in Iraq, and a reemergence of gruesome, once again, you know, doing what they do on videos. I'm going to read it. It's a wake-up call for regional players, for national players, that ISIS is not over, that the fight is not over. It shows the resilience of ISIS to strike back at the time and place of their choosing. The report noted that the U.S. military and its allies engaged ISIS at the largest level in 3 years this week after the terrorists attacked the prison in Syria and tried to free other ISIS terrorists. The attack raised fears that some of the same conditions in Iraq that allowed for ISIS' rise in 2014 were now making room for it to reconstitute. Well, let's see. What's the common denominator between 2014 and this year? Unbelievable. Yeah, let's see here. Where was I? The attacks in Iraq conducted by ISIS sleeper cells in remote mountain and desert areas have highlighted a lack of coordination between Iraqi government forces and the Peshmerga Kurdish forces of the Iraqi Kurdistan region. Experts worry that one of ISIS's offshoots, ISIS-K, along with Al-Qaeda, are regrouping in Afghanistan following Biden's disastrous pullout from the country back in August. Well, I had reported on that already, but now they have confirmed that they are up in Afghanistan. They're growing in power. They're getting our military weapons that were left there. It's all just happening once again. It's war. It's big business. Big business. If you can run a war from the White House, the left is going to do it. From GB News. ISIS bride, what a crime this is. They have kept her out of the UK. They have kept her out of the UK. They've been very good about keeping her out of the UK. That girl that was 14 and she just got on a plane and flew to Syria and decided I'm going to be an ISIS bride and blow people up. Guess how they're going to get her back in the UK? Listen to this. Oh, it's maddening. ISIS bride Shamima Begum could return to the UK after court case victory. ISIS bride Shamima Begum could come back to the UK as the government failed to examine whether she was trafficked to Syria. She voluntarily left. She voluntarily went down there to marry an ISIS guy and have ISIS children. Okay? But they didn't check this. And so now you've got some lawyer up in the UK that's arguing that now she was suddenly trafficked. Okay? It says her lawyer believed Begum's bid to return to the UK is strengthened by the court case victory of a 16-year-old girl who successfully asserted that she was a victim of modern slavery. This court case was the first time a terrorism prosecution has been discarded as a result of a claim of sexual exploitation. Independent reviewer of terrorism legislation thinks it could pave the way for other teenage terror suspects to claim they have been groomed on the internet. That's going to be their door to get these people that have killed people, that have been anti-British, anti-US. Now they're just going to use this excuse and just shovel them back into the countries. Now something interesting from Mongolia, from defense.gov. Readout of Assistant Secretary of Defense Eli Ratner's call with Mongolia Vice Minister of Defense Bayar Magnai. Okay, this is now our 35th year of having relations between our two countries. And so the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Indo-Pacific Security Affairs, Dr. Eli Ratner, held a telephone call with his Mongolian counterpart, Vice Minister of Defense Bayar Magnai, to commemorate the 35th anniversary of U.S.-Mongolia diplomatic relations. Dr. Ratner highlighted the importance of the U.S.-Mongolia defense relationship and reiterated the U.S.'s commitment to strengthening defense cooperation moving forward. Dr. Ratner also thanked Mongolia for its contributions alongside U.S. and coalition partners in Afghanistan and for Mongolian contributions to peacekeeping operations around the world. Good stuff, folks. Okay, that was all I could get for you. I know that wasn't interesting at all, but it's all I could find this week, unless you wanted to hear more COVID stuff from Mongolia. All right, Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in this regard? From the Epic Times, flying car. This was so cool. If you saw it, great. If not, it was wonderful. Flying car certified to fly. I've talked about this before, but now it is certified, and you can get your own certified flying car. This is very cool. Paving way for mass production of very efficient flying cars. A hybrid car airplane, known as the Air Car, has been issued a certificate of airworthiness by the Slovakian Civil Aviation Authority, potentially paving the way for the future of flying vehicles. The dual-mode car aircraft vehicle, which looks like a sports car, it's a very cool-looking car, was created by a team of 8 highly skilled specialists at the Slovakian company Klein Vision. It was awarded the certificate by the Slovak Transport Authority after successfully completing 70 hours of rigorous flight testing compatible with EASA standards. Flight tests included over 200 takeoffs and landings and a full range of various flight and performance maneuvers that Klein Vision says demonstrated astonishing static and dynamic stability in the aircraft mode. The takeoff and landing procedures were achieved even without the pilot having to touch the flight controls. That's very cool there. It took the team of specialists over 100,000 man hours to convert design drawings of the air vehicle into mathematical models and then create the final two-seater, 2,200-pound vehicle that is powered by a 1.6-liter BMW engine. Air car certification opens the door for mass production of very efficient flying cars. It is official and the final confirmation of our ability to change mid-distance travel forever, said Klein. The company hopes to have the air car commercially available within 12 months. But a pilot's license is required, which means I'll never get it because I got my first solo flight. And I said, I'm never doing this again. I did not like flying, okay? I enjoyed being with people when I'm flying, but when I had to actually land the airplane all by myself, I didn't like that, and I never flew again. But a pilot's license is required to drive the hybrid vehicle, meaning we won't be seeing many of the flying cars anytime soon. Anton Zajac, I guess, co-founder of Klein Vision, said that the vehicle can fly at a maximum operating altitude of 18,000 feet. Your car. 18,000 feet up and runs on fuel that is sold at any gas station, which reminds me of, remember the what?
That's not going to work.
Hey, listen, not anymore. They're going to get rid of all the gas stations, but it made me remember the one James Bond that opened with him in that little airplane, remember? And he's down in somewhere in South America and he's flying. He goes through the hangar. The missile comes after him. He gets out the other door of the hangar. They get the hangar door closed and the missile blows up the whole hangar, right? Okay. And then what happens? Low fuel. So the wings come up, he lands, the wings come up, and he pulls up to a gas station and said, fill her up, please. That's what this guy can do now. You can have the same exciting adventure as James Bond with one of these cars. Yes. Okay, so you can get at any gas station. Air Car successfully completed its first 35-minute intercity flight last June, which I talked about, between airports in Nitra and the capital Bratislava in Slovakia. After landing, it took the car less than 3 minutes to transform back into a sports car, which can reduce travel time by a factor of two. Unless you're in Sarasota in tourist season, then it's like a factor of 2,000, okay? Klein Vision has also completed tests of a powerful and lightweight ADEPT Adept Airmotive Aviation Engine and finalized drawings and technical calculations for the upcoming monocoque model, which will have a variable pitch propeller that could reach speeds of over 186 miles per hour and a range of 620 miles. You could fly out of Florida on that thing and be out of Florida. You know, it used to be when we were young, if people lived in Naples and they wanted to leave Florida, they'd drive all day and they'd still be in Florida and they'd have to have their first vacation in Florida before moving on. Now we got I-75 and all that, but Florida never ends. If you take Florida and you fold it up on the U.S., it goes all the way up to Pennsylvania. I mean, once you leave Florida, you're just going through state after state so quickly. And you're like, yeah, we're making time now. You make no time in Florida unless you've got this baby and you're out in a minute. Okay. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. Okay. Epic times. Australian scientists put superbugs on notice. I have a feeling, and the reason why I'm including this is because every time we do something, we screw something else up. So they have something that will now take care of superbugs, which have not been taken careable recently. You know, antibiotics, more antibiotics, and it's not killing them. So they think they've got it figured out. But my guess is in another year, we're going to read about a kickback from this. Researchers from Monash University in Victoria have discovered a new method that could potentially destroy the superbugs, prevent antibiotic resistance, and reduce antibiotic intake to limit any non-targeted bacteria from coming into contact with the medicine and developing resistance. The researchers' new treatment kills superbugs using antibiotics that superbugs have not yet developed a high resistance to in combination with nanoparticles. This is what makes it important because eventually somebody would stop taking their antibiotics and then the thing will develop a resistance and it becomes more super of a superbug. But now they're including nanoparticles and they think this is the key. The method uses a polytherapy-based approach to combat antimicrobial resistance using cubosomes, which disrupts the bug's outer membrane using water-resistant nanoparticles loaded with superbug antibiotics. For a long time, nanoparticles have been used specifically as antimicrobial carriers, but the use of nanoparticles in polytherapy treatments with antibiotics in order to overcome antimicrobial resistance has been overlooked. The use of nanoparticles antibiotics combination therapy could reduce the dose intake in the human body and overcome the multi-drug resistance. The new method involves a two-step process. The first step uses an antibiotic like polymyxin to break up the outer membrane of the superbug. Superbug's unique outer membrane is the feature that gives them their resistance. The membrane has a slime coating, but its best defense is the unique molecules within it that stop most antibiotics from entering and killing the bug. Polymyxin is one of the antibiotics that can get past the unique molecules and break the cell wall. However, if they are used continuously to treat bacteria, the superbugs will develop a resistance to them. That is why the second step, using nanoparticles like cubosomes to break up the outer membrane further and destroy the bug. The nanoparticles themselves have antibiotic properties and can therefore help to decrease the dose of antibiotics used, preventing the bug from developing resistance. So we're going to watch that because I bet within a year or so, something is going to come up where this has caused another problem and we're going to have people dying. The what?
All the good bacteria gets
all the good bacteria? Maybe that's it. We're going to find out. But my guess is this is going to lead right into the end times where people are dying of all kinds of crazy stuff. But we'll see. Zero Hedge. Kraft Heinz, yes, again, raises prices on dozens of products as inflation continues to bite. Kraft Heinz said in a letter to customers that it will raise prices in March. So I want you to go and buy all the hot dogs that you can. Just buy thousands of packets of hot dogs, okay? And we'll store them somewhere. Do they need to be kept cold? If they do, then we don't have room for that. But, okay. The hikes will affect brands including Oscar Mayer, Cold Cuts, hot dogs, sausages, bacon, Velveeta cheese, Maxwell House coffee, TGIF frozen chicken wings, Kool-Aid, and Capri Sun. Increases range from 6.6% on 12-ounce packs of Velveeta to a whopping 30% hike on package of Oscar Mayer turkey bacon. Oh, most cold cuts and beef hot dogs will go up around 10% and coffee around 5%. Some Kool-Aid and Capri Sun drink packs will increase about 20%. The question now is, how much of these price hikes will retailers pass on to customers? Now, I want you to know that if you go to the shopping store, don't yell at the people when they raise their prices. Shopping stores deal on like a 1% to 2% margin. They don't make a lot of money. Their margins are very tight. They have to sell a lot to make up where they're not, you know, charging a lot. So the answer to that question that they just asked is probably most of it is going to get passed on to you. But there's always people that run into the grocery store and yell at the people in the store. And they're just working there. That's not their fault, okay? Blame the people in the White House. Write them your letters. Exactly. Given the thin margins that grocery stores operate on, it's likely that most, if not all, of the hike will be incorporated into prices on the shelf. For Kraft Heinz, this isn't the first time prices have been raised since the start of last transitory inflation wave. The brand just announced a 9% hike on its beef, lean beef, hot dogs, and some other products back in November. So we're just going up and up and up and up. Morality is declining. Here's some news on that from GB News. This is in the UK. And this is just so typical of the way things are going in this world. Police raid house of woman's right activists and seize anti-trans book. They go into her house and they seize a book about being anti-trans. Police have arrested a woman's right activist for an alleged hate crime and snatched a book of essays from her home after she displayed posters directed towards the trans community. Now, the trans community can put up posters with anything they want anywhere on this planet. Nobody can say a thing about it. It doesn't matter how revolting or vulgar it is. This person is tired of having this put in her face, and she put up posters saying, I disagree with this ideology, and she's a hater, and she's going to go to prison for it, probably. Jennifer Swain, 53, was detained for more than 12 hours after putting up posters around Newport. These posters made claims about trans women in prisons and that men in skirts should stay out of women's spaces and said humans never change sex. That's what she said, and she has offended everybody, and so now she's in trouble. She called Gwent police out for operating like the Stasi after they searched her home and seized an academic book on the theory and practice of transgendering children. The book is edited by Dr. Heather Brunskill Evans, an academic previously who was denied a platform to speak by university students. Got to shut them up. They got a differing view. The book asserts that politics, rather than science, explains for the rise in the number of transgender children. I have said that here now for years, since this started coming out. I said, you would never have heard of any of this when I was in high school, ever. We never even knew what that meant. It would be foreign to us. And all of a sudden, it starts happening. And all of a sudden, it starts increasing and increasing, like the human population has finally evolved in a 10-year span from being this to this. That's not it at all. This is a social agenda that is destroying people's lives, and it's taking away the rights of people that disagree one little decision like this at a time. So I thought I'd let you know about her. Jennifer Swain, 53. Mail Online. Outrage as Disney debuts woke new look for Minnie Mouse, ditching the iconic red dress in favor of, you know, that cute little red dress, and she always does this, and she's got the thing and the little red polka dots and whatever. Okay, yes, it's in favor of a progressive blue sustainable pantsuit designed, yes, sustainable pantsuit designed by some woman after avowing to take a new approach to Snow White remake. Breitbart. Teammates uncomfortable changing in locker room with trans swimmer. You think?
Yeah.
Members of the University of Pennsylvania women's swim team are reportedly uncomfortable changing and showering with this person in the locker room, according to the latest reports on this controversial college athlete. Newsmax. Here it is. I had a facepalm come back in my face when I sent this to my friend this past week. Pregnant man, pregnant person emojis coming to iPhones. My friend that I sent that to is smiling right now. He was like, oh. So yes, pregnant man emojis. The little guy standing there pregnant. That's the new emoji for Apple.
Too much pizza.
Too much pizza emoji. That's what that is. Thank you. I'm glad you clarified that because I couldn't understand
that came,
otherwise.
That came from Thor.
Oh, God. I'm not repeating that for the people to hear. Mail online. Please, sir, I want less. Now, even Oliver Twist gets a trigger warning with university saying its depictions of poverty and crime-ridden London could cause distress. Can you imagine this? I mean, I was probably 7, maybe 6 when I went to see Oliver Twist. Please, sir, can I have more? And it didn't damage me. Well, not much. I mean, I just can't believe how... Weasel Zippers, this is finally some good news from the morality section. DC's new gay activist Superman issue sells only 68,000 copies, barely covering the cost of the staples that hold the comics together. Nobody wants this shoved down their throat. They're tired of it. Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. Okay, from the Express. Global tensions grow as Chinese rocket scientist defects to the West. Did any of you hear of this?
No.
I got one good article on it, and that was it. Described as a rocket technician, the Chinese national was attached to the state-owned Aviation Industry Corporation of China, where he helped develop a mid-range hypersonic boost glide vehicle capable of carrying DF-17 missiles to a range of up to 2,000 miles. Sources say the scientist, in his late 30s, is connected with a more recent hypersonic missile delivery system that can circle the globe. That's the one that got everybody worried about 2 months ago, before descending from space and using heat-seeking technology to strike any target on Earth. And when the Pentagon heard about this and they tracked it, they were floored. They were completely floored, and they've got this guy's information on it right now. It sounds like a spy novel, the rest of this article. Despite his apparent success, however, it was resentment at having been passed over for promotion rather than political dissent towards his master's in Beijing, which persuaded him to make contact with a British intel asset in Hong Kong at the end of September last year. During that first tentative approach, he told the middleman he possessed detailed information about the hypersonic glide vehicle. Knowing he faced a firing squad if discovered, he demanded asylum for himself and his wife and child. A call was made to Vauxhall Cross, more commonly known as MI6, and a three-person team comprising two intel officers and a technical specialist were readied to deploy to Hong Kong. The CIA was also informed. Cautious that the scientist could be a Beijing plant, a cat-and-mouse game developed over the next few days in which the scientist's credentials were what is known as copper-bottomed. It was during this process that the technician, an avid fan of cricket who is believed to have once studied in England, began to reveal select details about China's latest hypersonic development. Eventually, a plan was hatched in which he and his family would travel to the former British colony using a specially developed route. Once there, the scientist was spirited to a secure location where he was debriefed by the two men and woman which made up the MI6 team. While most of the technical information offered by the scientist was carried in his head, he was also able to smuggle out technical data. The MI6 team were joined by a two-man team from the CIA. A day was given for a lengthy debriefing before arrangements were made to fly to a more secure location, a U.S. airbase in Germany, then on to America via the U.K. That's like Spy Central 101. That was very cool. We'll see if we ever hear any more about that guy. From the Gateway Pundit, Biden's DOJ says arsonist who killed someone during BLM riots should get lesser sentence because he was protesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got people that have not had any of their rights allowed to them that are up there in Washington, D.C. right now, little grandmothers that were out there protesting what they believed was something wrong in our nation and didn't do anything wrong. And they want this guy to be able to get out with a lesser sentence when he killed somebody. Montel Terrell Lee Jr. broke into a Minnesota pawn shop, poured gasoline, and lit it on fire on June 5th, 2020. A 30-year-old man, Oscar Lee Stewart, whose rights are completely ignored in this, was found dead in the rubble over 2 months later. Lee's actions were caught on camera. Instead of facing the typical sentence of 200 months, U.S. Attorney W. Anders Fulk recommended less time because the motives behind the arson and killing. Mr. Lee's motive for setting the fire is a foremost issue. Mr. Lee credibly states that he was in the streets to protest unlawful police violence against black men, and there is no basis to disbelieve this statement. Yeah, there is no justice in this nation at all. None. Epic Times. Biden admin painted Brandon Straka. Anybody remember who he is?
Yep.
He's the walkaway guy. He was a Democrat that said, I don't want to be a Democrat anymore. And so he started walk away. Just walk away from this party. They're a bunch of losers. Listen to this. Biden admin painted Brandon Straka as a January 6th extremist. Brandon Straka founded the walk away campaign, was wrongfully painted by the Biden admin as an extremist because he just doesn't want to be a Democrat anymore. He is now an extremist and he's on a domestic terror list. As an instigator of violence during the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol, his attorney said. Zero Hedge, Swiss man legally declares himself a woman. This just tickles me to no end. Listen to this. To retire with a pension 1 year early. Thanks to a new law, Swiss citizens are allowed to change their sex on paper without needing to provide any documentation from a doctor or a physician. You just say, I'm a girl now and you're a girl. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got a brother that identifies as a black female, okay? I'm kidding, of course, but there you go.
Next Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah! Next Supreme Court Justice, there you go. Okay, so all it takes is 75 francs, which isn't a lot of money. So you got 75 francs, you change your sex, okay? And a desire to be referred to as a man or a woman. Well, as it happens, retirement benefits in certain Swiss states differ by sex. In the wealthy Alpine canton of Lucerne, women are allowed to retire a full year earlier at 64 versus 65 for men. And women receive more generous benefits. So for 75 francs, he goes and changes. He retires a year earlier and he gets more money. But that's not the end of it. The individual in question lives in Lucerne, where pensions are really high. They can range from around 15,000 to 25,000 annually, depending on factors like age and gender. After all, when they turn 66, they can simply change it back if they want. So he's a girl for a year and then he's back to being a guy for another 75 francs. Or keep it and continue to enjoy higher payouts. So if he wants to stay a girl the rest of his life, he gets more money. In response to the report of the sex change retirement scam, they call it a scam. The local media in Switzerland have dreamed up other ways in which men can exploit the system by legally changing their sex on paper. There's nothing scam about that. They allowed that. The government allowed this, and that guy is taking advantage of it. That just tickles me to no end. I mean, I think it's wrong that they even allow it, but it tickles me. Epic Times. Representative Cori Bush's vehicle struck by gunfire in Missouri. Yeah, she's over there. Get rid of the police. And she gets her car. Now, I won't say what. I'll just leave it at that. Washington Post, San Francisco police mark 567% increase in anti-Asian hate crime reports in 2021. Yep. If you want to know who is committing those crimes, I won't say a word. Go and type in the hate crimes in San Francisco and just read the names and look at the pictures of them. I won't say a word. I'll let you decide who is doing this. Weasel Zippers, people are afraid to warm up their cars in Chicago for fear of being carjacked. You don't want to warm up your car. You want to get in your car and drive as quickly as possible, because if you sit there and you warm up your car, you're going to get carjacked. Gateway Pundit. Biden's deputy national security advisor says Americans should care about Ukraine because borders should be inviolate. As record 518,360 illegals invade the U.S. border in the first fiscal quarter of the year. A half a million people in the first fiscal quarter of the year, and yet they say that borders should be inviolate. They are, every single one of these people in this administration is a criminal, is should be prosecuted and should be in prison tomorrow. Every single one of them.
Enemies within.
Enemies within. I told you that I would tell you about the stupidest man on the planet at this point in time. Steny Hoyer. He tests positive for COVID-19. He is the House Majority Leader. This afternoon, I tested positive for COVID-19, and I am experiencing mild symptoms, the 82-year-old congressman said in a statement. Thankfully, I am fully vaccinated and already received my booster shot. Instead of saying, how could I have gotten COVID-19? How is this possible when I've gotten two shots plus a third shot? He tells you that you need to go out and get your shot. This man is criminally stupid. Criminally stupid. Okay, you're not going to get this, but it's a good quote, so who said it? If the machine of government is of such a nature that it requires you to be the agent of injustice to another, then I say, break the law. Who said that? Smart guy named Henry David Thoreau. Unbelievable. Yep. Okay, I got a lesser here for you. Now on paper, Swiss guys can be girls and convince they wear pigtails and curls. They are filled with new bliss since they're known as Swiss Miss and can now dress in diamonds and pearls. Okay, I've got a couple of ironies here for you. The first one is sad, but it's very ironic if you think about it. Does anybody remember the lady about a month ago, the Chinese lady that was pushed in front of the train and she was killed. Okay. She worked for a company named Deloitte. Deloitte gave $50,000 to nonprofit that wants to keep homeless on subways less than a year before the firm's executive was fatally shoved onto subway tracks by an ex-con. They paid to murder their own executive. Okay. Weasel zippers. This is something I didn't know, but it does not surprise me this much. Whoopi Goldberg chose the surname Goldberg because her mom thought it would make her appealing to Hollywood Jews. That is ironic. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.